we deserve. And I appreciate His grace. Daniel chapter 6 tonight, if you will. Daniel chapter 6, while you turn, let me express our tremendous gratitude for what we count it a privilege to be here in these services this week. Unique meeting we've had as far as the elements are concerned, but we're glad that no one's in control of the thermostat but the Lord. Wouldn't it be an awful thing if Congress had to pass legislation on the degrees? We barely can get them to do very well on it, all the simple things of life. I'm glad that God's in control. And don't ever let that escape the truths of it, escape your heart, that God is ultimately in control. And we have enjoyed it. We regret that it's over with. But the best thing about it being over with is we'll either meet here again or we'll meet in heaven again. And we appreciate all that you've done for us, the different things, the meals, the accommodation, the different little things that some have given us personally. We appreciate it and we're grateful for it. We pray that you'll stay faithful, and you pray for us that we'll remain faithful in this day of apathy and complacency. God help us that when we meet again, that we're fervent for the Lord in these days where there's a great lack of it. Keep us in your prayers, if you will. We'll go home tomorrow, and then Lord willing. And I have a brother, older brother, that pastors in Virginia, and he's coming down for a week at home. So we'll be home with him for a week, and then we'll head to Kentucky, and then over to Ohio again, and be in meetings there throughout July, and then we'll be going to West Virginia and fly out to Texas for August. So keep us in your prayers that the Lord will keep us straight and keep us in our right lane, keep everybody else on their right side of the road as we drive and travel. Daniel chapter 6. Daniel chapter 6, familiar passage of Scripture. We're going to begin our reading in the middle part of the story, but we'll cover it all. But for lack of time, we'll begin reading in verse number 10. Now when Daniel knew that the writing was signed, he went to his house, and his windows being open in his chamber toward Jerusalem, he kneeled upon his knees three times a day and prayed and gave thanks before his God as he did aforetime. Then these men assembled and found Daniel praying and making supplication before his God. Then they came near and spake before the king concerning the king's decree. Hast thou not signed a decree that every man that shall ask a petition of any god or man within 30 days, save of thee, O king, shall be cast into the den of lions? The king answered and said, The thing is true, according to the law of the Medes and Persians, which altereth not. Then answered they and said before the king, That Daniel, which is of the children of the captivity of Judah, regardeth not thee, O king, nor the decree that thou hast signed, and maketh his petition three times a day. Then the king, when he heard these words, was sore displeased with himself, and set his heart on Daniel to deliver him, and he labored to the going down of the sun to deliver him. Then these men assembled unto the king and said unto the king, Know, O king, that the law of the Medes and Persians is that no decree nor statute which the king established may be changed. Then the king commanded, and they brought Daniel and cast him into the den of lions. And the king spake and said unto Daniel, Thy God, whom thou servest continually, he will deliver thee And a stone was brought and laid upon the mouth of the den, and the king sealed it with his own signet, with the signet of his lords, that the purpose may not be changed concerning Daniel. Then the king went to his palace, passed the night fasting. Neither were instruments of music brought before him, and his sleep went from him. Then the king arose very early in the morning, went in haste unto the den of lions, and when he came to the den, he cried with a lamentable voice unto Daniel. And the king spake and said unto Daniel, O Daniel, servant of the living God, is thy God, whom thou servest continually, able to deliver thee from the den, from the lions? Then said Daniel unto the king, O king, live forever, for my God hath sent his angel, and hath shut the lions' mouths, that they have not hurt me. For as much as before him innocence was found in me, also before thee, O king, have I done no hurt. This is a familiar passage of Scripture, a well-known story about Daniel in the den of lions. And we find that Daniel was faced with a pretty disturbing situation. I'd have to say, if they were going to put me in the den of lions, I'd be somewhat perplexed. Wouldn't you? I mean, I don't want to be around a mad dog, much less a lion's den. I'd be a little upset, a little worried. But you notice that Daniel didn't come to the den of lions worried and fussing and fighting and kicking and screaming. But he went to the den of lions without any fear. And I want to give you a message tonight on how you can dwell in the den. How was it that Daniel had the ability to dwell in the den? Have you ever felt like you was in the den of lions? Like you didn't know what way to go and how to get out? And every time you turned around, somebody was growling at you. And every time you looked around, the situation looked pretty disturbing. How was it that Daniel was able to dwell in the den, or lay with the lions, or cope with the cats? What was it that gave him the ability? Well, we have to go back to the first mentioning of Daniel. When Daniel first comes on the words of the Bible, as far as in this book of Daniel, chapter number 1 and verse number 8. This is Daniel here as a young man. He's probably 16, 18, 20 maybe. He's a older teenager. And Daniel is young. And he is brought out of his native land by the king of Babylon that took over Israel. And if you know much about the captivity, that what they did is Nebuchadnezzar, they left all of the poor, all of the uneducated, just the worst of lot. They left them in Israel. But they took the rich, the wealthy, and they took the educated and young captive. And Daniel was amongst those. And now Daniel is young. And in verse number 8, the Bible said, but Daniel purposed in his heart. Can I say that Daniel really, truly did have a purpose-driven life? Not what we know of and what the bookstores sell, but true purpose-driven life. Daniel, as a young man, purposed in his heart. You know, today it's hard to find anybody that has any real purpose. That's why fads can be anything. I mean, you can make a fad up where you've got a dish rag hanging out your front pocket and your mama's pot on your head, and they'll do it. Let some movie star do it, or some sports person do it, and it'll become a fad. There's no purpose. Daniel had a purpose. We can say it this way. First of all, Daniel had a made-up mind. His mind was made up. Daniel was young, and here they come to the Hebrew children. And you know the story. They come with their diet. They give them what they're going to be eating. And Daniel said, I'm not going to defile myself with the king's meat. And he said, I'm not going to do it. I've got my mind made up. And what made his mind up? Three things made his mind up. First of all, his mind was made up because of the law that he knew. He knew what the law said about this food. You see, the Bible in the Old Testament, they had three laws. Ceremonial law, the moral law, and the dietary law. And we want to practice the moral law. I understand that we don't practice it. We're not under it today. Thank God Calvary covered the ceremonial law. Praise God. In Acts we find we're not under the dietary law. But they were under the dietary law. Nothing, and we're not going to go through it, but over in the book of the law, Numbers, Leviticus, you find that the Lord goes through and gives them all the clean and the things they're to eat and the things they're not to eat. And this was the meat that they were giving them, and it was not a clean and was not fit for them to eat. It was against what the law said. That's why he said, I won't defile myself with a portion of the king's meat. So he knew what God's word said on it. He knew what the law said, what the word of the Lord said, and because of what the word of God said, his mind was made up. There was no debate, nothing to debate over. There was nothing to discuss. And he knew what God's word said, and it didn't matter what they were doing. He was going to do what the word of the Lord said. It didn't matter what everybody else was doing. He was going to do what the Word of God said. He was going to follow the Word. He was going to stick with the book. He was going to believe God's law. No matter what everybody else was doing, Daniel said, let them do what they please. But I know what the Word of God said, and I'm going to stick with God's Word. I'm not going to go with the flow. I'm not going to go with the crowd. I'm going to go with God. I'm just going to believe the book, and I'm going to make it my life practice to believe the word of the Lord. It doesn't matter what they're doing, I'm doing what God said to do. And he had a made up mind because of the word of God that he knew. Would to God we'd have men and women with that kind of determination today, that kind of head knowledge and that kind of heart-centered conviction, that it doesn't matter what the world is doing. It doesn't matter what religion's doing. It doesn't matter what the majority's doing. The Word of God said it, and I believe it. And I'm going to follow it. And I'm going to obey it. It doesn't matter what fads and fashions this old world tries to get me involved in. It doesn't matter what religion tries to get me sucked up in. I know what God's Word said, and I'm just going to believe it. I'm going to tell you something, my dear friend. I believe in the Word of God may not always be popular, and practicing and obeying the Word of God may not always get a pat on the back. And believing and practicing the Word of God may not always be commendable to you. But I'm telling you, there's a coming a day. There's coming a day where you're going to stand before the Word of the book. And you're going to stand before the author of the book. And it's going to be said of you, well done, thou good and faithful servant. Enter into the joy and the riches of heaven. And I'm telling you, my dear friend, in this world you may face tribulation. And you may face hardship by obeying the Word. But there's no greater joy on the other side, and there's no greater joy that's on the inside of the child of God that has their mind made up because of the Word of God. Just hold true to the Bible. Just stick true to the Word of God. Let your family be guided by it. Let your children be raised by it. Let your home be, dear friend, organized and ruled by it. Don't go the way of the world, but follow the Word of God. And Daniel knew the Word, and his mind was made up because of the law that he knew. Secondly, his mind was made up not only because of the law that he knew, but his mind was made up because of the Lord that he served. He said, I cannot defile myself with a portion of the king's meat. nor his wine and all the other things. He didn't serve Nebuchadnezzar. Now mind you, dear friend, they didn't come to them with a menu to check off what they would like to eat. And kings in those days, they were kings because they conquered a land or because they got it by in succession because of their daddy was king. So that brought about an arrogancy in and of itself. And, when they came to Daniel to give him this order of what they were to eat, they didn't come to him to choose and pick. I remember as a boy, I was a picky eater. My wife probably still thinks I'm somewhat a picky eater, but I just pick what I like to eat and eat it. Now I'm paying for it. I can afford to be a picky eater. You can be a picky eater when you're a slave. But Daniel said, no, I'm not serving that king on your throne. I'm serving the king that's on the throne of my heart. I'm serving the Lord. I can tell you, that's what Joshua told him. Joshua took the children of Israel across the sea, the river of Jordan. They got over there and they saw that land, saw all the prosperity of the land. They saw all the gods of the land. And then that night after they got out of venturing around, him and mom and the youngins got together and they had family devotion. And they had family devotion and they made up their minds about some things. And then Joshua got up the next morning and he met with the people. He said, now fellas, I'll tell you what, me and mom and the youngins sat around the dinner table last night and we had family devotion. And we saw we're in a different land. We saw that there's a lot of gods here we never have saw before. And we just went ahead and made up our mind. They said, y'all go ahead and serve the gods of this land if you want to and do whatever you please. He said, but as for me and my house, we're just going to keep on serving the Lord. We're just going to be faithful to the Lord that brought us here. And that's exactly what Joshua did. And that's exactly what Daniel did. He had his mind made up because of the Lord that he served. My dear friend, let me say something. You may look at religion. Maybe you're here this evening and you're not saved. You never asked Christ in your heart. There's never been a time in your life when you realized that you were a sinner and you humbled yourself and you said, Lord, I'm a sinner. I ask you to save me. Maybe you've never done that. And you look at religion possibly in different ways, but maybe one way you look at religion and you see it as people that just commit themselves to things and obligate themselves to do or not to do things. They just oppress themselves with rules and regulations. Can I say everybody serves somebody? Everybody is a servant to something. Whether it be religion, or whether it be fads, whether it be a job, whether it be a relationship, everybody's a servant of something. But the Bible said, the way of the transgressor is hard. It says the way of the one that's never been saved is hard. Oh, but the Lord said, take my yoke upon me. And learn of me, for I'm meek and lowly, and my burden is light. I'm trying to say to you tonight that Daniel was going to serve the Lord, and his mind was made up. He was just going to serve him and be faithful to him and obey him, and he wasn't going to have any other masters. He wasn't going to have any other lords. There was a king with pomp and circumstance, with a crown of gold upon his head and a throne of gold under himself, and there he sat. But Daniel said, he sits on his throne, but I've got a Lord that sits on the throne of my heart, and my mind is made up. I'm just going to serve him. Oh, beloved, what did God, we had a bunch of Christians here tonight that had their minds made up that they're just going to serve the Lord. They're just going to serve him whether they have two nickels to rub together or not. They're just going to serve him whether they're prosperous and have a lot of wealth or not. They're just going to serve him no matter what comes, what happens. They're just going to be in it for the long haul. Oh, God, give us a dose of old-time determination to just serve God and be faithful to God and have a made-up mind that you're going to serve him. Oh, that's what we need. So he had a made-up mind because of the law he knew, the Lord he served. And then thirdly, his mind was made up because of the land that he was from. He was from a different land. He was from a land that they didn't eat this stuff. He was born in another world. Where he's from, they didn't eat meat such as they had here. He didn't take on that little thought, while in Rome, do as the Romans do. What happens in Vegas stays in Vegas. Not Daniel. Oh, no. You see, his body may have been in a different land, but his heart wasn't. His heart was still where he was born at. He was in a foreign land, but he still remembered what they did in his land. He's going to live like he's there. Now, it's amazing to me that nobody else is mentioned here that stood up. I don't know where they're all at, but nobody else stood up and said anything. Maybe fear. Or maybe the Lord didn't want to mention them. But for some reason or another, only Daniel is mentioned. Let's just think for a moment. Maybe they looked around and said, "Now, Daniel, don't cause no raves. Oh, Daniel, be wise as a serpent and harmless as a dove." Maybe they said, "Daniel, you know, you can attract more bees with honey than you can with vinegar." Maybe they said, "Now, Daniel, listen. We're not to refute those that's in authority. We're to submit ourselves unto them, for they watch for our souls." And Daniel looked at them and said, "Well, fellas, you can do what you want to, but I'm not from this land, and I'm not going to live like these people in this land. I'm born from another world, and I'm going to live just like the place I'm born in. It don't matter where I'm at. I'm not going to forget where my birth's from. I'm going to live like my native land lives." He's from a different world. My dear friend, you and I that are saved tonight are different residences. We're pilgrims and strangers in this land. Now, this isn't our home, and we ought not to live like it is. We're aliens. The Bible calls us aliens. Did you know that? Has anybody ever seen an alien here tonight? Have you ever seen an alien? I'm not talking on television, but has anybody ever really seen an alien? I bet you have. You call them illegal aliens. Is that true? You ever seen an illegal alien? You know why they call them illegal aliens? Well, illegal, we understand that. A lot of people don't understand it, obviously, in charge, but illegal, and I'm not here to debate immigration. I could care less about it at this present time. But we call them aliens because they're from a different land. Illegal aliens. Let's think about how they've affected us. Now, the majority, when we say illegal aliens, we automatically think of those from Latino countries, more of Mexico. Let's think about how much they've affected us. In Cambridge, Ohio, I know of one. I'm sure there's more than one. There's a Mexican restaurant. I was preaching in Rockmart, Georgia, for Brother Billy Bell, a good southern redneck, country fellow, pastor of the church for 25, 30 years, the same church. Brother Billy Bell's a great, great Christian man, but he's country fellow. And after Sunday night service, we start the revival after the Sunday night service. Rockmart, Georgia ain't got much in it. But believe it or not, Rockmart, Georgia had a Mexican restaurant. And there we were, Sunday night after church. And I said, "Brother Bell," I said, "look at this. It's amazing to me. In Rockmart, Georgia, here sits a Mexican restaurant." I said, "I bet you 20 years ago there wasn't no Mexican restaurant." He said, "Oh, 20 years ago we didn't know what Mexican restaurant was." He said, "The first time he heard Taco Bell, he thought it was a phone company in Mexico." I mean, it was just amazing. He didn't even know how to pronounce what he ordered. I said, "I bet you 20 years ago you didn't know what a burrito was, a tortilla." "No." I said, "Isn't it amazing how much they've affected us? You go to Walmart, I don't care where it's at. More than likely, you'll find a Latino food aisle." Now, I said all that not to get you angry with me or not to get you angry with the government or however you feel about the situation. I said that tonight so you could get a visual on how an alien has affected our society. And on the flip side of that, we're supposed to be aliens. I wonder if we've affected our society such as that. Do they still play football on the Lord's Day? Do they still serve booze and alcohol in about every county and every city across the country? Do they have much respect on the church property, or are they cussing, throw the cigarette butts and the beer cans out on? I don't think we've had a big effect on it. And we've been here for more than just 50, 60 years. You know why we haven't? Because when they swim across the Rio Grande, they didn't come with Kentucky Fried Chicken bucket in their hand and wave an American flag. They brought their culture with them. They were in a foreign land, but they lived as if they were living where they came from. That's how you and I are Christians are supposed to be. We're supposed to live on this earth like we're in heaven. You're supposed to live like you are a pilgrim and a stranger. We get up and we sing, "This world is not my home," but we got every kind of gadget and thing to entertain us, and we got every kind of convenience, and we get deeper and deeper into this world. We sing, "Oh, I want to see Him," and we're so busy and so planning out our lives, the coming of the Lord would be the biggest inconvenience we've ever heard of. I'm being serious tonight. I'm trying to say that Daniel remembered where he was from, and he had a made-up mind. Secondly, and quickly, oh, when they got hot dogs boiling, it's hard to keep attention. His mind was made up. He had a made-up mind. But then we go back to our text, chapter 6. Not only had a made-up mind, but he had a determined devotion. He had a determined devotion. Now, we didn't read verses 1 through verse 10, verse 9, but what happens is now Nebuchadnezzar's gone, and this is a different king because they've done been took over, and now Darius is king. And Daniel is not a teenager no more. He's in his 90s, probably. He's an older man. And he is preferred above all the presidents and princes because he had an excellent spirit in him. Maybe why people don't prefer us, we don't have much of a good spirit. But anyway, that's another message. And now you see what the presidents and princes were. They were debaters and construction of the laws. What they would do, the president and the princes would get together, somewhat like our Congress and Senate, and they would hash out laws, and they would send it to the king. But the king was the king, and he could alter it according to how he pleased. And Daniel was preferred above all of them, so they were a little upset about that. So they tried to attack Daniel personally. They tried to attack his character. They tried to attack his personal life, but they couldn't do it because of an excellent spirit that was found in him. So when they couldn't get him personally, they tried to get him politically. They wanted to make a law. And they do that today. Boy, they want the church when Katrina comes. They want the church to pray when 9/11 comes. They want the church to house people. I remember when Katrina came, I got good friends in Houston, and they have a church there, and they were wanting churches across there to take in these people and give them a place to stay. Oh, but don't come to our schools and pray. Don't get in your pulpits and preach things we don't like. But anyway, they tried to attack him politically, and they couldn't get him personally, so they got him politically, and they made a law. And you know the law, we already read it. If you ask of any petition of anybody besides the king for, I believe it was 30 days, that he'd be cast into the den of lions. So Daniel is in charge, or in one of the head people of this president and princes, and the law is now passed. The king signs it, and that law of the Medes and Persians means there ain't no repealing it. So with that being said, the law is that if you pray or ask of any petition of anybody besides the king for 30 days, to the den of lions you go. But look what the first four words are in verse number 10. Now when Daniel knew. You see, Daniel's devotion was one of it was a conscious devotion. He knew what the law was. But yet he didn't try to find any loopholes in it. He was just going to be what he always was. And then it was a courageous devotion. When he knew the writing was signed, he went to his house and his windows being opened. That's courageous. Knowing that the law says if you ask of any petition, you're going to be chunked into the den of lions. But yet he does open his windows. I don't know, maybe I would have said, Lord, honestly, for the next 30 days, let's have a closet prayer meeting. I mean, you can hear me in the closet as well as you can with my windows being open. But not Daniel. He had courage. Let me use this word, if you let me. His Christianity was courageous. He wasn't a backward Christian. He wasn't an unidentified Christian. He was a courageous Christian. He wasn't afraid to tell the people on the job that he was a Christian. He wasn't afraid to speak up for the Lord and pray over his meal at a restaurant. He wasn't afraid to hand out a gospel tract. He wasn't afraid to listen to the music that God wants him to hear and cut the other music off no matter who's in the car with him. He had courage. And we need courageous Christians. I'm telling you, my dear friend, that's what got this country and what got this Bible in your hand where it's at tonight was courageous Christians. We came here tonight without any fear whatsoever of any reprisal for coming to church. Did anybody come in here scared that they were being followed by the authorities? Did anybody join this church secretly so no one would trace them as being a member of a Baptist church? Oh, but not too many years ago, that was the case. But you know what they did? They were Christians none the same. John Bunyan wrote one of the most known read books of all time on bottle stoppers where they put the paper and put it in the top of the bottle of milk. He wrote Pilgrim's Progress like that, and they had the license for him to sign right outside his prison cell, but he wouldn't do it. He was courageous. We need courageous Christians. And not only was courageous and was it conscious devotion, but it was a committed devotion, as he did three times a day. This wasn't just some religious whim he was on. This wasn't just some kick. This wasn't just another week of meetings. He was committed. Committed to be devoted to God. He was committed. He wasn't going to give up. He wasn't going to quit. He wasn't going just when things were going well. When things were going well, he went to his room. He opened up his windows towards Jerusalem, as we find that God talks to Solomon about in Chronicles. And when things were going good, the king loved him. Nobody made a law against him. He did it. But when the king signed a law that said you would be in trouble for doing it, when everybody was after trying to get him for doing it, still he went and did it again. Commitment. Committed for doing what God wanted him to do. He had a committed devotion. You know, if you and I are going to be committed for the cause of Christ, we're just going to have to make up our minds we're going to do it. It's not going to be in your genetic genes. It's not going to be like the flu. It's not going to rub off on you because you got around somebody that is. It's going to have to be something that you got down in your heart. You're going to be committed. You're going to have to make a decision just to do it. People in God's church today seem like they have a hard time of making decisions when it comes to God's work. They can't decide if they want to commit to teaching all preach. I would love to teach that class, but you know, it's summertime and this and that, and I would love to drive that van, but I just don't know if I'm able to do it. And they're so hard committing. But they'll run down to that car lot and smile and commit for 72 months. 0% interest. And they'll head down yonder to the mortgage company and run everybody off the road to commit for 360 months. 30 years for a house. But they can't commit to change the toilet paper roll on the little baby's bathroom at the church. committed. The preacher said, nobody makes no decisions for God. And one little boy got up and went to use the bathroom. He said, thank God somebody's made a decision. I'm trying to tell you, Daniel was committed. Committed to serve God. When the sun wasn't shining, he's committed. He had a determined devotion, made up mind. But lastly, Daniel had a providential perspective. He knew God was in charge. Look what it says in verse number 22. The king couldn't sleep all night. The Bible don't say it, but I believe Daniel slept like a baby. Look at what he's, this providential perspective. Oh, brother Daniel knew God's presence was there. He said, my God hath sent his angel. He said, the king come to the mouth of the den and said, Daniel, are you all right? And Daniel said, yeah, me and the Lord slept good last night. They just chunked him in, but God was in there waiting on him. He knew God's presence was there. I'm going to tell you, that's one reason why Daniel didn't come kicking and screaming. One of the many reasons. Because Daniel knew that he wasn't going to be in that den by himself. He knew that when he got down there, the lions may be there and their fear and all their fury may be there. But before the lions were there, he knew that God was going to be there. And that's why in the midst of a dark den, Daniel was not deterred. He was not affrighted because he knew God would be there. Oh, joyful thought, my dear friend, that as David said, yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, thou art with me. I'm telling you tonight that it doesn't matter what kind of den you might face. It doesn't matter how dark it might be. It doesn't matter how discouraging it might be. There is one that said, I will never leave thee, and I'll never forsake thee. I'm glad that we cannot be separated. The Bible said, who can separate us from the love of God? Shall height, shall death. Hey, he said, nothing can separate us from God's love. And I'm glad tonight to know and to preach and believe and have experience that in the darkest of dens, though everyone is closed out, you can't keep him out. And they cannot block him out. And they cannot shut him out. And the Congress cannot legislate him out. And the scientists cannot, my dear friend, blast him out. You cannot keep out the presence of the Lord from one of his children. And Daniel knew God's presence was there. Said God had sent his angel. And then he knew God's power was sufficient. He said he shut the lion's mouth. God put heaven locked jaw, glory vice grips on him. A fella come up to me and say one time, he said the reason they didn't eat Daniel because they knew he was nothing but grit and muscle. I said, well, to myself, that sounds good, but that ain't true. I believe they's hungry. I believe they walked nowhere and sniffed old Daniel and said, man, I tell you, I'd like to take a bite out of him, but for some reason I can't. And they got over in a little huddle. And Zimba said to Scar, just want to see who watches television. Yeah, this lion said to the other, said, can you bite him? He said, I sure can't bite him, but I sure like to have him. He said, can you? No, I can't do it. I've tried half a night. And I can't bite him. God done shut the mouth. Daniel didn't come and try to hide under a rock. He knew God's power was sufficient. And then he knew God's protection was enough. They've done me no hurt. The whole fact of the matter of Daniel dwelling in the den is in verse number 23. Then was the king exceedingly glad for him, and commanded that they should take Daniel up out of the den. So Daniel was taken up out of the den, and no manner of hurt was found in him, upon him. And this is what it's all about, because he believed in his God. He just believed God. You'll find that throughout all Daniel's experiences. Daniel had a lot of hard things to believe God over, but he just believed him. And I'm going to tell you, that right there will get you out of every den. Oh, it may not get you out of the den, but it'll help you in it. It'll help you no matter what you face if you'll just believe God. Maybe you're here tonight, you've never believed Him and trusted Him for your soul salvation. And everything in this world seems to promise you glitter and glory and glamour, and it all may look good. But you've never found anything that really satisfies you. You always look. You're always hoping. Can I tell you tonight, if you'll just believe the Lord and trust Him, He'll save you and give you that peace that you're looking for. Dear Christian, let me say tonight, just believe Him. You may not be able to find Him. You may not be able to understand Him, but believe Him. That's what Job had to do. Job said, I looked in front of me and I couldn't find Him. I looked behind me, He wasn't there. I looked on my left hand and on my right hand, I couldn't find Him. But then he says, but He knoweth the way that I take. Job knew that God was with him in his den. Just believe God. Just put your faith and trust in Him. Oh, beloved, let me tell you tonight, happy is the man that just believes God. Oh, I wish that I could convey that truth more than just in our ears, but down in our hearts. Believing. Trusting. Trusting when you don't understand. Love Him and get closer to Him when you don't understand. Just cast all your care on Him when you don't understand. You'll find Him to be no more real than when you need Him most. Daniel just believed God. You know what? When you believe Him, you'll start doing more for Him. And He'll start doing more through you. Things will come together better when you just trust Him and live for Him. Your life right now may seem like it's just upside down. Like you can't find the way up. You can't find no joy. You can't find no peace. I mean, it's just hard, hard, hard. Can I say, the first step to making it better is just putting your faith and trust in the Lord. Just believing Him. Let's bow our heads, if you will. They come to the instruments. We have a verse of invitation. Father, I pray You'd speak to our hearts tonight. I pray for that one that might be here unsaved. Pray You'd convict them. Pray the Spirit of God would move. Help Your people. In Christ's name, amen. Let's stand tonight. Our heads are bowed. Our eyes are closed. And just for a moment, before we sing, I'd like for you to have your heads bowed and eyes closed. I want to ask you a question.